Vons is your entertainment end zone. Look for the Game On player tags when you shop, buy three, and enter to win great prizes, like a 65-inch big screen LED TV. Cash the Ram spirit with the Game On sweepstakes at Vons. Use your club card to get Progresso Soups, 18.5 to 19-ounce selected varieties, 99 cents each when you buy six. And Honey Nut Cheerios, 12.25 ounces, 157 each when you buy two. No purchase necessary. Open to residents of Southern California counties listed in rules 18 years and older. Ends January 3rd, 2017. Enter code by January 10, 2017. Rules at GameOnSoCal.com.
At Kaiser Permanente, we're always looking into the future, but we're not using a crystal ball. We're using science and technology to see what's coming for your health. Take something preventable, like heart disease. It's the leading cause of death in this country because only half of us manage our blood pressure correctly, so we made it a focus. The result? More than 86% of Kaiser Permanente members have their blood pressure under control. We may not be able to tell you your fortune, but we'll happily work on improving your future. Kaiser Permanente. Rise and thrive. Visit kp.org.
Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Fire the tire!
Hello and welcome. This is Amy Hackett-Jones. Welcome to the 22nd episode of the Being Brilliant radio show. This is your host, Amy Hackett-Jones, happiness and high performance coach for being brilliant in the way you both live and lead your life and those around you. You can find me at www.amyhackett.jones.com. The Being Brilliant radio show is a deep and impactful look at what it takes to be brilliant. The show invites you, our listeners, to step into the very essence of who you are being as you show up to life. My guests bring a combination of inspirational teachings coupled with practical tools and essential life and leadership skills translated into actionable strategies so that our listeners may step into being the very best version of themselves. My interviewees are high performers, thought leaders, game changers, pioneers, dreamers, adventurers, way-seers, visionaries, as well as friends and family, those whom I believe live brilliantly and who travel magically through life, shining their own light so others may do the same. And of course, today is no exception. Today we have in the house Polly Alexander, international success coach and lifestyle expert. Now, Polly and I met about 2 years ago in Sydney, and she's right here with me. We're actually in person, so this is going to be a great show today. Polly coaches
creative entrepreneurs and other coaches.
So Polly has a background in photography and is highly successful and acclaimed. And she works with, as she says, creative entrepreneurs to coach them and build their businesses to level. So welcome onto the show, Polly. It's a huge pleasure to have you here.
Thank you, Amy. It's really exciting to be here with you. This is kind of how we started in a conversation like this. Really, really excited to be on the show. So thank you for having me.
Absolute pleasure. And I'm, yes, equally excited. So let's get stuck in. What we're going to look at first is take a little look at your life and how you got to be where you are. And then we'll delve deeper into how other people can have similar successes as you, similar insights, because I know you've been on a very deep personal journey along the way. You've had a lot of growth and a lot to deal with. So let's just take a little bit of a look back in time.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get to be where you are today?
Wow. I'm going to condense 20 years, probably a little bit longer, actually. I would say my own journey of personal growth actually probably started when I was 19, when I went on my first silent meditation retreat.
Wow.
So I was really fascinated by meditation. And so I jumped in without telling anybody what I was doing. I was determined not to have any preconceptions or anybody telling me I shouldn't do it. And so I signed up and it just blew my mind, the power that we have within us and in our own minds to influence our reality. I think that for me was my first very profound experience of what we can do just with the power of our own mind.
And what was it like being on a silent retreat?
Very surreal. I was at university, my first year of university at the time.
Oh, so wow.
I'd gone from this loud, chaotic, very noisy, busy shared house, lots of social activity, to this completely different environment. I just remember coming off the meditation retreat and just seeing how even the colours looked different. I felt different. I could see the energy around things. And it just blew my mind that you could create that without any artificial substances, that it was just
wow.
a natural experience.
Amazing. So what was next then? You've been on this retreat.
Yeah. So I very conveniently shelved that experience. I'd love to say it was a spiritual transformation and I became highly evolved in my 20s, but that was not the case. So I thought, well, that was interesting, and promptly went back to partying.
Yes, I can resonate with that.
But I was actually doing a degree in psychology at the time, which actually had very little to do with the kind of psychology that I'm interested in now. We were not taught how to use our minds in the way that we know is possible. Mm-hmm. It was quite a traditional psychology course. So did that. And I think I always kept sort of personal development as an interest in the background. I actually went into fashion and then advertising as a career in my 20s. So I did the whole corporate thing. And then I did yoga in my spare time. I read personal development books. So it was kind of there in the background,
mm-hmm.
kind of ticking away.
And what was the book that impacted you most back then?
Oh, gosh. I tell you the one I remember, because I got to 28 and I knew that I had to do something creative. I was in a great job in a great advertising agency, but my role was strategic and planning. And I right. knew I was a creative. I knew that I had this urge to express
yep.
myself. I didn't know quite how, but I made the decision to leave and go back to university. And before, I had to wait for the course to start. So that summer, I actually got a job in a shop. And it was actually, compared to coming out of the corporate high-flying, high-pressured job, this was actually a very, very blissful time in my life. I was pretty well paid for a shop job.
Yeah.
I just had to spray lavender and touch beautiful fabrics. And I got an hour's journey there, an hour's journey home, and an hour's time at lunchtime. And so I started reading personal development books. So I basically had 3 hours a day to study and no pressure from my job.
And amazing.
At that time, and I remember distinctly going to, my shop was in Portobello and it was on the Goulburn Road. And there's lots of Portuguese like patisseries.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would have custard tarts and I would sit and read The Power of Now.
Oh, brilliant. I love that book. I can just see it with custard tarts on the Portobello Road.
I even remember exactly, it must have been a profound impact, because I remember exactly where I was sitting at the time.
Amazing.
I remember what it felt like to read that book. And that was, I think, what really opened it up. And then around the same time, Deepak Chopra's The 7 Spiritual Laws of Success.
Mm-hmm.
That was the other book which really sort of hit me deeply as being truth.
Amazing. So which one of the 7 do you remember most?
Gosh. Oh, you know, I don't know. It's probably been about 15 years since I read that book. Yeah, I think I'd need to dive deep in my journal to access that one.
But I think you probably by now, you've evolved so much, and we're going to get more into that, but you've evolved so much over 15 years. You probably subconsciously live most of them anyway, I would have thought.
Yeah, I think that they become more integrated.
Mm-hmm.
But there's definitely some things that I'm more evolved in than others. always learning.
Always, amazing. So after the shop job, you started?
Yeah, I started actually studying interior architecture. Okay. And within 3 weeks realized I wasn't a 3D person. And so I actually went to study photography.
Right.
And then that's how I really started my career as an entrepreneur. So it was through starting a photography business. I knew I wanted to use it as a means of self-expression, so for creative fulfillment, but also as a way of making money. I didn't really know how I would do both. So I was doing a master's in photography, and then I got asked to shoot a wedding. And so a wedding photography business was birthed, which actually proved to be so engaging and so fulfilling. And working with people at such a profound time in their life, mm-hmm. and being part of such a significant and emotional occasion actually was so engaging. I actually left my MA.
Oh, really?
Just slightly controversial. And that was 12 years ago. So that was my journey into entrepreneurship, which proved to be a huge personal development vehicle.
It always is. And anyone out there who is on their own journey, setting up their own business or working on their own business, so we will be diving more into that. But it is, as you say, it is one of the biggest personal development journeys on the planet, to set up your own business.
Definitely. I mean, there were so many things I had no idea about, from everything from time management to marketing to, I didn't even know what mindset was, you know, to how to interact with people, how to handle clients. It was a huge learning curve.
Amazing. So over a number of years, you built up your wedding business,
mm-hmm.
and you were featured twice, I think, on Martha Stewart. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. I actually have 12 pages in the current issue.
Oh, go check it out, guys.
So, yeah, basically what happened in my photography business, well, I was able to fulfill some lifestyle goals. So one of my dreams was to create a new life in the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So in my mid-30s, I made that dream come true. That was my biggest manifestation to date. It was when all the financial crisis happened, all the banks were closing, and I decided that was the perfect time to buy a house. So armed with a 30-day mortgage offer and a crash in the economy, I went out, and actually it was divine timing, and I managed to secure my dream home on the island of Ibiza. And so that was really when I would say my personal development journey accelerated, when I moved out there. It's a place with very strong energy, and it's got its own plans for you, as most people find out when they go there. It definitely, the energy prompts spiritual development, shall I say.
I know, and I've seen your posts on, Polly's very active on Instagram, and in a short while I'll be giving you her handle. But I can see how you blend so brilliantly into Ibiza, and how it blends so brilliantly into you and your whole environment, and how you are so, because you're a creative as well, you're very specific about what you want to manifest, and also how you visualize
mm-hmm.
your life. So I'd just like you to share a little bit, as you say, this is one of your biggest manifestations. When we dig a little bit deeper into manifestation and what that is, how did you start? Did you create a vision board, as some people do, or did you just think it up, dream it up?
Yeah.
And how did that begin?
I've been creating vision boards for a long time. I've actually got a lot of the old vision boards.
Have you?
Which is actually amazing, because that becomes like a self-fulfilling thing in itself, because when you look back at old vision boards and you see that you've actually created it, you created what you visioned, then it gives you confidence and faith and trust that you can actually do that. And so it gets easier and quicker as you go on. That's the biggest thing I've found, is that I figured after a while, I always got what I wanted. It's just a matter of how many years it took. So, as I've become more developed, I've found that I've been able to collapse the timeline. The process, I'm just very, very connected to what it looks like and feels like to me. And I think also what's very important, what's meaningful to me, and not making that wrong or not denying mm-hmm. my true desires. So I'm very tuned into what's authentic to me, which then makes it easier to manifest.
And how specific do you get? Like when you manifest a new home, or when you manifest a particular client or a new handbag or whatever it is that you're wanting to manifest, how specific do you get?
Interesting. So with a client, I don't get specific.
Right.
So I would be having the goal of like helping someone or bringing in a certain amount of money, mm-hmm. and I just trust that the right person for whom I'm a right fit comes in. If I'm manifesting like I guess a physical thing, like a possession mm-hmm. or a home, very specific, really specific. I'll show you the picture afterwards of this house that we're sat in now, of the image that was on my vision board, which is not this exact place, uh-huh. but how similar it is. So I get really, really specific. And then literally every night I just think, I look at images of it and I just imagine what it's going to be like to be there. And I make sure I don't tell anybody that might doubt that it could happen.
Right.
I'm really protective, if you like, of my fledgling manifestation. But before I manifest the Ibiza house, We had a wooden box and we would put pictures of places in Ibiza, and every single night I would sit in bed and I would open the wooden box and I would look, we were doing it together with my partner at the time, and we would look at all the images, and then I had a book on Ibiza, and that was the only book I read at night.
Wow.
I wouldn't watch the news, so I wasn't available for any bad news about the economy, about mortgages not working, about how difficult it was. So it's like a two-pronged process. One is getting really connected to what I want and just imagining it all the time, and the other was like keeping myself separate from anybody or anything that might influence.
Amazing. Yeah. And that's great that you're so clear on that. The other piece that a lot of people mention in manifestation that could help our listeners is putting the emotion into it as well.
Totally.
What would you say about that?
Yeah, I would say that's huge. And I think for me, that was very organic in the beginning. Now I'm more aware of how I do it consciously. But in the beginning, I think because I wanted these things, I wanted that lifestyle, that freedom, that feeling of being in the sea, you know, just that happiness, that joy. I wanted it so much. I was so connected. When I looked at the images, it wasn't just about the image. It was about the feeling it was. So it was just, there was a very powerful emotion there. One of the things I find easiest to manifest is homes. And I think because I'm so connected to, my home is so important to me.
Yeah.
It's the nest. It's where I create from. It's where I brainstorm from. It's where I work from. There's such a strong emotional connection, which is why I can manifest home so easily.
Amazing.
I know somebody else that manifests helpful people really easily. And I'm like, wow, I would love that super skill.
I think I'm pretty good at that one. Okay, fantastic. So then you built up your photography business. You've been mm-hmm. featured twice in Martha Stewart's magazine. What's the magazine called?
Martha Stewart Weddings Magazine.
Martha Stewart Weddings Magazine. So anybody who's listening can go and check that out, because Polly's got 12 pages in there. And so what next?
Yeah, so I'd fulfilled my big dream of moving to the sun, which anybody that lives in England,
yes.
like the classic dream. I used to watch A Place in the Sun. I used to watch every Moving to the Sun property program. Another thing I did to help manifest, just seeing other people doing it and making it happen made it seem possible. So I went out there, thought, oh, this is it now. So got the house. The next year decided to move out there. And we moved out there. And that's really when my, I'd say, journey of accelerated development started, because it didn't quite pan out as I'd expected.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, well, this is it now. Like, this is amazing. I've built the business. I can just fly to my jobs. So I've got the dream house in the sun. It's all going to be great. And then I remember we moved out on the 30th of December. And I remember sitting in this seafood restaurant overlooking the cliffs, overlooking Essaouira, which is the third most magnetic place in the world after the North
really?
Pole and South Pole.
Oh,
so really intense energy.
Wow.
Watching a spectacular sunset.
Mm-hmm.
I remember saying to my partner at the time, there's just been so much going on this year. I just don't want anything else to happen. I just want things to be simple and no more events,
she says.
What I didn't know is that he was about to propose, which was a complete shock to me. And then a few months later, my mother died suddenly.
I'm sorry.
So that was the beginning of many, many events. It sort of, a number of life challenges came along, basically, that really led me to find ways to develop and overcome them.
Amazing. So fast forward a little bit, you're in Ibiza.
Mm-hmm.
And your photography business is very successful. And somehow you find yourself.
Yeah. So what happened really around the bereavements, and then I got
yeah.
ill from stress.
Right.
And there was a number of events, and basically, as my well-being got affected, my business got affected.
Right. Okay.
And as you know, like we're yeah. a mirror of our businesses. So
mm-hmm.
what happened was, I was like, okay, I'm feeling kind of overwhelmed. I had a number of losses. I had illness. There were things I was like, okay, I'm struggling to cope here. I need some help. And then it was mirrored in my business. And so I was in a position where I'm like, okay, my business isn't flowing like it was. And I know this doesn't make sense, because I know I'm good at what I do. I've been doing it quite a long time. So something needs to change. And so I was looking online for resources, and I was on an Australian website, and I was drawn to a coach. And I'd had a brief experience of life coaching sort of 8 years before, when I wanted to move to my place in the sun. I went and did a few sessions in person with somebody when I was living in the UK. And they told me after about 2 or 3 sessions that I didn't need any more sessions, which as a coach myself baffles me, because your self-development is never over.
Right.
But so I wasn't particularly enamored with coaching, put it that way. I thought, okay, oh, is that it? You just do a couple of sessions and that's all they can do for you? Okay, great. So I had a different experience second time around. I started working with somebody mainly on my business. We basically gave my business a makeover. We sorted out a lot of areas in my life. And I just found having that support just so, so powerful. That mirroring, it was just really powerful for me. Really powerful.
Amazing. So your photography business then picks up.
Exactly.
Your health picks up.
Yes.
And then I met you about 2 years ago in Sydney. So
yeah.
What was that all about? Why were you
there?
Yeah.
So at the end of my coaching course, my coach at the time had said, well, check out my own mentor is starting a coaching program. So I'd looked at this coaching program. I knew I wanted some ongoing support. By this point, I was pretty majoring in personal development. So I was like, wow, this program looks great. I'll just do it for personal development. The coaching thing, I'm not too bothered about that, but I can put it through the business.
Yeah.
But this is just an excuse to do a lovely, intense 12 months of personal development. So yes, please. And I started that journey. And what happened was we just did personal development first 3 months, loved it, diving into all sorts of things, family patterns, wealth consciousness, money. It was amazing. And then they said 1 week, okay, so you've got to get your first coaching client. And I was adamant that this is where I opted out. So I was about to take a left as the course went right when somebody emailed me out the blue and said, do you do mentoring? And I was like, well, that's a little bit spooky. So I heard the message from the universe. I was like, okay, well, funnily enough, I do this week. I'm doing one session. So did my first coaching session with that client, who actually has come back as a client now. She came back 2 years later and said never forgot that first session.
Gosh,
and
amazing.
And I'm now working with her. She's now a coach in the US.
Fantastic.
So amazing how things can come full circle. But that wasn't enough to convert me. I was really quite happy. I was like, I've got a business. It's thriving again now. This is all good. And then somebody else wrote to me saying, I'm going to be your first client. I've heard you're studying coaching. You've always inspired me. You've had a big impact on my life. You don't know me, but I'm going to be your first client. So let me know when you're ready.
Amazing.
So it was literally like the universe. Every time I tried to say this isn't for me, somebody would just message me out of the blue and go, hi, I'm ready.
Oh, fantastic. So in the time that I've known you, your business has morphed again. So you're now coaching more than you are doing photography.
Yeah, totally. So I think the year that we met was a year of crossover for me. Mm. So it wasn't until the end of that training program that I actually experienced the power of coaching for me. Because at that point I was like, this is really, I'm enjoying it, but do I want to create a business? And I was neutral. So I had to do an intense amount of coaching to pass my certification. So I pretty much coached all day, every day for 6 weeks. And what that gave me was the most incredible awareness of just how powerful coaching is.
Mm.
And it was the feedback. I think I coached 11 people. And the feedback I got was just like, this is changing my life. And I feel like a different person. Just incredible feedback. And that's when I thought, I can't not do this. This is literally changing lives. And that's after 6 weeks. I was like, wow, okay. Now I get it. Now I get it. It's not about just taking the occasional client. But I'm very much still a creative.
Yes.
And what I've realized is that I need to fulfill that part of me in order to feel balanced and actually to be a better coach.
Mm-hmm.
So last year I did both of them part-time for a year, which was intense.
Yep. I can imagine.
And then it got to a year ago and I was like, okay, I'm going to take a sabbatical from photography for 6 months and just really put all my energy and focus into my coaching business, which I did. And that's when it really rocketed.
Amazing. So this is why you're now an international success coach and lifestyle expert. Tell us a little bit about the lifestyle.
I think one of the things I'm passionate about is that any of us can create a lifestyle that we love in whatever way is meaningful to us. And that's been something which I have, I guess you'd say I have a degree of mastery over in my own life.
Yes.
In terms of that I didn't see barriers. I found a place that I really connected with in my soul and I made it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels incredible to be living in a place that makes me feel alive each day, that's filled with beauty and sunshine, the things that are important to me, and then the feeling I have being there. So that's something a lot of people are attracted to come to work with me because I've done a lot of international moves, actually.
Yes, a lot of people,
they come for one thing, and then secretly they've got a dream of moving to France or moving to a Mallorca, and it sort of comes bubbling up during the process. And I think that in a way, when you've done something, you give other people permission to do that too.
Yes. Absolutely.
I think that's to me where the lifestyle piece comes in.
And you're going to be launching in the new year? You're going to be launching Living Beautifully?
Yes, yes. I've had a blog that's been a long time in the wings. And I'm really excited to actually share. It's been 22 years now, 23 years of personal development experiences. So I'm really excited to share my journey and the things I've tried. How I've overcome all the things in my life with my readers, as well as Inspiration iCandy. It's a platform for me to also shoot for, which is really exciting to actually get back to that just creative self-expression, doing something for fun.
Amazing. I'm all about the fun.
totally. And it's really easy to overlook that in business. And that's for me a vehicle for getting back to that joy and that fun.
Certainly. So that is Polly's new blog, which she'll be launching in the new year. And it's www.livingbeautifully.com. Now, if anybody would like to ask Polly a question, the number, if you are in the States, to call in is 646-716-7979. That's 646-716-7979. And if you're anywhere else in the world, feel free to message me on Facebook with your questions. Or if you have my number, you can WhatsApp me. And I'll ask Polly your questions. So this is Amy Hackett-Jones interviewing international success coach and lifestyle expert, Polly Alexander. And if you'd actually like to check out Polly's website, it's pollyalexander.com. And Alexander is R-E at the end, not E-R.
The French spelling.
The French spelling, not the
and
English.
And I don't speak French. E, slightly awkward.
Amazing. So let's now start having a look at what we're going to give people to learn during this episode. So one of the first things is why passion, doing what you love, is vital to serving others and to your own happiness and success. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think that each of us have been born with unique gifts, and they're usually the things that we're passionate about, that we would do for free, that we really love doing, that the kind of thing that fills us with energy after. So I know sometimes for me, after I've coached a client, I can be actually really filled with energy rather than depleted. And so there's always the opportunity to explore the things that fill you with energy and the things that you're passionate about, and then to find a way to weave those gifts into a business.
Absolutely. And I think we can see on the, you know, with the rise and rise of internet businesses, people can turn their passions into profit, can't they?
Absolutely. More. It's just such an exciting time.
Yeah.
Such an exciting time. You're no longer limited by geography, even by assets to start a business, because so much of this you can do for very, very little investment now, and not all by impact, because you can impact people all over the world.
Yeah, and having an online business, you can pick up clients from anywhere. Exactly.
Yeah, I've got at the moment, I've got Canada, America, I've worked with Greece, I have a contingency in Germany and Austria, I have a niche there, the UK, South Africa, literally all over the world. It's incredible. Amazing.
It is, isn't it?
All from the middle of nowhere in Ibiza.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the things that lights me up most, that I don't have to live in a city, that I can really pick where I live, and I can be in a place that nourishes my soul so that I can nourish the souls of others. Because ultimately, when we're happier, mm-hmm. and when we are living in alignment with what we love and our passions, then we can be a greater service.
Couldn't agree more. So next point is how to create a standout brand to accelerate your success. So I know this is specifically for people, well, with online businesses or bricks and mortar businesses, really, isn't it? It's about connecting to your brand and living and breathing that.
Yes.
So
yeah.
Tell me a little more.
I work with both kinds of businesses, online and offline. I've got I've worked with a number of stationery designers who have physical products,
mm-hmm.
worked with a fashion designer who has physical products. But the thing that makes you stand out from everybody else is your brand, ultimately. That's your first point of contact with your audience. And one of the things that I truly believe makes people more successful is having a really distinct brand. And it's not about having a certain brand. It's not about having a luxury brand. It doesn't make you better than another brand. It's having a brand that's a representation of you.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you can share you, the more you can attract people to what only you can offer. And generally with people that are not where they want to be in business, typically I see their brand is not expressing all of who they are.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So one of the things I most enjoy doing with clients is really getting them to go back to who they are, what they're passionate about, and then how you represent that in a brand, because that's their point of difference, their point of uniqueness.
Can you give us an example so we can visualize? Innocence Drinks is coming to mind.
Innocent Drinks.
You know, the smoothies. So.
Yeah, I'm not in this country anymore. I'm not so right. familiar. what would I say is a great brand? Great brand. Oh, I'm going to think of a lot after. I can't think of what's coming to mind right now on the spot.
Don't worry.
No, it's not coming.
It'll come in just a moment. Anyway. So being on brand and living and being that.
Yes. I think your brand's about so much more than just your people think it's like their logo.
Yeah.
They think it's their logo or their website, and they think that's it.
No, that's it. That's as far as you have to go.
My brand. No, it's fine. I can do it myself. I'll just make a logo. I can get a logo done on Fiverr. But your brand is how you come across in the world. It's everything from how you talk to people, mm-hmm. how you dress, what you choose to invest your time in,
mm-hmm.
Who you follow on social media. What you choose to share, how you say things, the voice, the tone, how you interact with people. It's so many things. And the more people have the opportunity to connect with your brand, the more they're going to be drawn to work with you, and the more you're going to get the people who are the right fit for you. And typically I find people are sharing what they think they should be sharing, not who they truly are.
Yeah.
So like, oh, I'm this, but I should be this. I'll share this. This looks smart. This looks like the kind of image I want to project. Whereas it's more about drawing back the curtains to find your true self underneath, to find what's really there, and knowing that that's okay. And if it isn't, if it doesn't sound like, if you're a mom with three kids in a messy house and living in a rainy place, you know, that doesn't mean that that's not really, really attractive and meaningful to your ideal client, who will really resonate with that when you share like your authentic self.
Yeah. And it is true. You know, the more you, and in my experience as well, it's always funny to see which posts get most likes on Facebook and Instagram and things like that. And usually it's the posts you least expect, but it's always the ones that show you.
Definitely.
Show your authentic self. And when we're talking about authentic self, it's just about being real, and about revealing the stuff that we feel often that we might be judged by, or that we might be criticized by, and that sort of thing. And it's just about being honest. And I know this year the posts I've shared about you know, mum passing away in June and things like that, it's the authentic posts and the posts with photos and that sort of thing that really get the
I think
they draw on people connect to it because they've either been through a similar experience or they imagine themselves in that same situation, and they like the teaching that you bring out in it, or you like the observation or the insight that you get from it.
Definitely.
And they're the ones that have really been the ones that people connect to, at least in my experience.
Yeah, I think that's real power and vulnerability, whereas we're sort of conditioned to believe that we should hide our vulnerability and that we should be strong and we should be professional if we're going to get business. And I think there's a real strength actually in being vulnerable and real, and that people connect from a heart level and a soul level when you come across like that.
Definitely. Amazing. So we're going to move on now to wealth consciousness, which is a favorite topic of mine. And I know it's a very big topic of yours too. And something that I really got stuck into a couple of years ago when we were on the same course together. And it was the money, the conversations around money that we sort of don't even realize we have. They're completely unconscious, and how this coach enabled us to bring that to the fore and actually dissolve it and actually replace it with something much more beneficial. So just share with me what wealth consciousness means to you, and then we'll look at how people can practice it.
Yes, absolutely. I'm making a 17-part video series for my list at the moment. We've just had video 4.
17, yeah. Oh my goodness.
It started out supposed to be a 6-part, but there was just so much to share in this area. It's just growing and growing and growing. It may never end. It may keep going as I'm learning, I'm sharing.
So, exactly.
This was a really profound transformation for me because although I was successful in my photography business, I never had enough money. I was always overdrawn. I always struggled to pay my taxes every year. I wasn't making tons of money. I was doing okay. I was doing well, but it never seemed well enough. I never had enough money. I was constantly stressing about money or worrying about where the next client would come from, or just living in that place of lack. And I had no idea. I thought that was just fact. That was money. This is money. As far as I was concerned, that black thing over there that with all this stuff, that was money.
Yeah.
And you just had to kind of tolerate it as best you could. I had absolutely no idea it could be different. I really didn't. So it was just a huge transformation for me. I think when you take that piece off your plate, that constant worrying, so much energy was going into that. I've been able to use that energy for more powerful, impactful things in my life. And also when you take yourself out of that place of constant fear and anxiety around money, then it's just gives you so much more freedom about what you do with your time, what you do with your life, how you're using your mind. It's been huge for me to move out of that place. And as I shifted my mindset, that was mirrored in my outside reality.
Amazing.
So I think my income's gone up like 10 times in three years or something.
Gosh, incredible. So this just shows our listeners the impact of becoming conscious around your own wealth and your own relationship to money, your own thoughts around money, etc., your own beliefs around money. So give us a couple of steps that you would, I mean, maybe there's a couple of books you would recommend people to start off, you know, reading about money and their relationship to money.
Yeah, and I think this is where it all really does start, because it's in the awareness.
Absolutely.
In the awareness itself is so powerful. Sometimes work to do as well.
Yeah.
But just the awareness of like, oh my gosh, I'm doing that. That's enough to cause the shift. And I think that's what's so awesome. You can get fast results in this area.
Yeah.
Like some areas of personal development are a longer journey.
Definitely.
Family stuff, things like that. all that stuff we accumulated up to age 6 and then spend the rest of our lives trying to
undo. Yeah.
But this is an area I think you can get immediate results from. So I love it for that. Your question was So there's a couple of books. My favorite book for its easy read is The Science of Getting Rich.
I love that one. Yep.
Really simple. And then I also like
Wallace D. Wattles.
I also two other books I really like are they're all really small books.
Yeah. Yes, they are. ones I have too.
Yeah. I think this is why I like them. The Little Money Bible by Stuart Wilde.
Okay.
Really like that. That's got another way of another angle for money. Very, very powerful, very short, easy to digest.
And then the third book would be The Law of Divine Compensation.
Marianne Williamson. Yes.
Really beautiful spiritual take on money.
Such a beautiful book, isn't it? I love that one.
So, yeah, so those would be the three. And they all give different angles. Mm. But ultimately, it's about starting to open yourself up to a whole new way of seeing money and literally, like, putting in a new program. Going, okay,
yeah.
I'm done with that software.
Yeah.
Delete. I'm going to run a new program.
I need a new operating system.
Exactly.
Amazing. So what would be a couple of tips that you would, like, initial starting tips for to create awareness around money?
Yeah, I think one thing which I've seen working with my clients, a lot of my clients who are running creative businesses are really talented, really passionate about what they do, but they're just not making the money relative to the passion,
mm-hmm. okay.
or relative to the potential that's
yes.
available to them. One thing I notice is a lot of avoidance of money.
Right.
So with money, people tend to fall into two camps. There's fear and terror,
yes.
or there's neglect and avoid.
Yep.
So I was in fear and terror, like constantly worried about it. I didn't avoid it. I was constantly thinking about it, but I was terrified. It was like me versus money. We were like in this war. And what I noticed a lot of people don't do it is actually track their finances or be aware.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of, in fact, I had a discovery call today with someone and I asked them what their turnover was this year and they had no idea. They said, I'll have to ask my accountant.
Wow.
So and I was that person. So this is not to make them wrong, because not that many years ago, probably 3 years ago or maybe 4 years ago, I was that person.
Right.
I'd like close my eyes, cross my fingers. Just got enough. It's just coming in enough. It always somehow works out. So not tracking your fine, not being willing to be conscious and develop a relationship with money. So avoiding that relationship. So getting more intimate with money. Just like we are now, doing
yes.
this interview in person, like basically seeing money as a person in your life and saying, you know, I'm going to get to know this person better and I'm going to develop a relationship with them. I'm going to become more intimate with them. So that would be one tip.
Amazing. Thank you.
Just becoming more conscious. Something which I've up-leveled recently is trying to use cash more to actually have that physical relationship with money, because it's such a card society now.
It is. And you know what I've been noticing more and more, because I live out in the sticks in the middle of nowhere, and whenever I come to London, this the wireless payment thing,
yes,
it's so easy to spend lots of money and not even realize it.
Totally. And we're currently becoming kind of disconnected.
Yeah.
So actually physically having money and handing it over and blessing it as you hand it over,
mm-hmm.
and seeing that person you're handing over to is, you know, is often an entrepreneur. They're running their own business or they're making money for their family and to eat. And so giving them money joyfully,
mm-hmm.
and being very conscious about, you know, I'm giving this money so that you can eat, or to the shop assistant, so that you can, you know, you have a job so that you can feed your family and you can live a life that you love. And so seeing the money as like a flow of energy and blessing it before you hand it over, and only handing it over when you feel good about it. I know I've spent money on lots of things when it's been handed over with a bit of resentment.
Right.
And so now I'm more mindful about how I make sure that I'm feeling really good about it to hand over. So that's in terms of managing. There's so many things.
I know.
The piece that I'm getting guided to share would be, and this is like developing almost like a more spiritual relationship with money. So trusting that when you're living your purpose, when you're doing what you can, that God will take care of you and bring through the resources you need. So not feeling that you single-handedly have to somehow push and push and push, that there's a way of tapping into a divine flow where you're taken care of, and money is... money is a symbol of that. I think the times when I'm most in alignment, most in flow, feeling most balanced, giving, money flows to reflect that.
Amazing. And that's so true. When we are aligned and we're on purpose, as you were saying, it's like the universe exactly reflects that. Now, you said God a moment ago.
Mm-hmm.
For those who are listening, I know the context within which Polly is sharing God. And I know a lot of people have a lot of background conversations about God. So really, it's more of a universal energy. It's God. It's higher, our higher self. It's whatever really you want to call that relationship. Mm-hmm. God just becomes easier. But it's not,
yeah,
you're
exactly.
You're not coming from a religious context.
No, I mean, I use the universe a lot.
Yes,
universe, God, they're just kind of interchangeable. They represent that sense of something bigger than ourselves, that sense of a higher power, of basically love.
Yeah. I love it. Amazing. Well, thank you so much about that. And what would you have said was your number one sort of money belief, lack of money belief that you've you've managed to transmute?
Never enough.
Never enough, yeah.
Never enough. Still working on it.
Are you?
We have a habit of expanding into our new financial frequency.
Yes.
In terms of expenditure.
Yeah, I know.
So and I think that's a positive thing.
Yeah.
Because in order to bring in the money, you've got to have a purpose for it, and you need to understand why. People, it's all very well saying you want to earn $100,000 a year or $250,000 or $1 million, but when you actually ask people what they spend it on, a lot of people don't know.
Yeah.
And so actually having the real, true, authentic purpose, and that doesn't have to be giving it away to charity. There's nothing wrong with desiring, if it's really on purpose for you, a beautiful home, or you want to start a retreat center or whatever, or go on this incredible round the world trip. They're all, as long as it's authentic and true to you, allowing yourself to be really clear on what you want the money for.
That's a key thing, because I remember hearing you say this once before, is about giving at the beginning of each month, creating sort of like an amount of money that you wish to call in that month, and giving that money that you're that sum, you're giving it a purpose each month. You're actually you're actually guiding the money to a specific result,
exactly,
or a specific thing, or exactly. So you're okay.
And I'm very structured in how I do this. So at the beginning of every single month, I have a spreadsheet with a tab of income, purpose for money.
Oh, great.
And it'll be broken down.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's fixed business running costs, and I have fixed life expenses. And then I have discretionary things, and that's where I tune into, like, what are the things I want to experience this year? Or what are the things that I want to acquire because of the way they'll make me feel?
Mm-hmm. And we come back to feeling there.
Coming back to feeling. Yeah. It's all about feeling,
right?
It's
about feeling and raising the vibe.
Totally. And just being really tuned into those things, like, you know, why do you want it? How will it make you feel?
Yeah.
And is it really true? And sometimes desires evolve. There's things I thought I wanted to do this month, and actually at the beginning of the year when it came to it, I'm not bothered. They seemed important at the time. So constantly reevaluating, connecting to, and allowing yourself permission to let them expand. I think sometimes I see people like making their desires wrong because they seem too big.
Mm.
They seem like, oh, that could never happen for me, or who am I to have that? So just really giving yourself permission.
That's a big one, isn't it? Who am I to X, Y, Z, fill in the dots?
Yeah, and I think it's really a journey of gradual expansion. That's what I see with a lot of clients I work with. I always see their desires expand as they realize what's possible for them. Their own possibility expands, and it's the two expand together. It's like an ever-evolving expansion.
Amazing. So this is Amy Hackett-Jones, episode 22 of the Being Brilliant radio show, interviewing international success coach and lifestyle expert Polly Alexander. If you'd like to ask Polly a question, if you're in the States, please give us a call, 646-716-7979. And if you're connected with me on Facebook, feel free to send me a quick message and I will ask Polly live on the show. So next we're going to move into how to create a big vision. We were talking about how you manifested Ibiza and living there on this beautiful island. So how to create a big vision and give yourself permission to see beyond the limits and dream. So we've sort of touched on this, but I'm wondering if you can just make it sort of concrete and as a takeaway that people can go and start implementing.
Yeah, I think it all really starts with getting to know yourself.
I love that.
So that's the biggest place to start. I think is just to really get to know yourself, like what's really true for you. We get so many messages from society and the way we're brought up that we can be living a truth that's not our own. And so the first part starts with just exploring and having fun, trying things, see what's really authentic to you. You can't create a vision when you don't know yourself.
Yeah.
And so just giving yourself time and space
and permission to explore, make mistakes, adventure. So that would be the specific thing I'd start with, whether it's through books. Mm-hmm. I love, one of the books I started with was Jack Canfield's The Success Principles.
He's great, isn't he?
Amazing.
Still going strong.
He's got some really great specific exercises around discovering your purpose and around practice. It's really digestible.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like that work.
Great.
His work. I'm very visual.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, vision comes from tearing images from magazines and just allowing my intuition to guide me as to how to lay them out and going with images that... And it's not about literally, sometimes it's about if I want to manifest a specific house, yeah. getting an image as close to that as possible. But otherwise, it's about collating images that represent how I want to feel. So it's not necessarily literally I want to manifest. I don't want to be that woman with the long blonde hair running through the field in France, but I want that feeling of what she has, that feeling
of freedom.
Of joy, of happiness, of being loved. It's those feelings. So, for me, I always have a vision board where I can see the images of how I want to feel. So I'm really connected to that.
Amazing. And the last point we're going to talk about here, really on these topics we brought up, is how to refocus when you get stuck. This is a great one.
Yeah. Gosh, there's so many different directions I could go in this one.
Yeah.
I think... when I really see people getting stuck, and I work, a lot of people come to me because they've got stuck in their business, just like I did.
Yeah.
It was working really well, and then, oh dear, what's happened to the money and clients? Or they're feeling like uninspired or bored. And what usually happens is they're like the lack of inspiration or growth comes first, but they don't really realize.
Yeah.
And you have to wait until it's mirrored by the outside world that suddenly you can't book clients, even though you've been doing it for 8 years and you're really good at what you do. Or you just didn't make any money last month and it makes no sense. And this kind of happened to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I think that's what happens. And typically it's because the person stopped growing or they've lost connection to themselves. So what they're living is something that's not really true for them anymore. Or they've stayed in the slow lane. They said it's comfortable, so they think, if I just keep doing the same thing, I'll be fine, I'll be safe. It's okay.
Yeah.
I'll just stay here and it'll all work. It worked before. But the problem is that the universe and nature wants us to keep growing.
Yeah.
And when we stop growing, things start to...
implode.
Yeah, yeah. Basically.
Yeah.
I also believe that we have a life purpose and that and a path. And that when we're not aligned with our path, that events and things will unfold to basically recalibrate us on where we're supposed to be. So we go off on a tangent. Life will present some challenges because ultimately the soul's here. The spirit's here on a human journey to have lots of juicy lessons and experiences, a lot of them challenging and painful so that it can grow. And so if we go path and we're not having those experiences the soul came here to have, the soul will be like, okay, I'll cut off the money, I'll cut off the client, because you're actually, there's another more powerful, more joyful, more challenging, more expansive path for you to follow. And so whenever somebody's experiencing that in their business, it's always an opportunity. It's an opportunity for them to step into the bigger version of themselves.
I just love that so much. Thank you so much for sharing that, because it is just so true, isn't it? Everything comes to us or happens for a reason and for a higher learning and for an upgrade and for a new operating system.
Totally. And you have a choice in that moment whether you freak out, you try to go back, you start blaming the world, you start blaming the economy, you start... blaming yourself for not being good enough or saying there's too much competition, or you take the opportunity to go like, okay, why am I experiencing this? What am I being called to learn here?
Mm-hmm.
How can I benefit from this? How can I heal this, transform this? And so you start asking different questions. And I see that as part of my role as a coach, is when people come to me and they're stuck or things are not making the money, which is awesome because that's a sign that things are not in alignment.
Yes.
So I'm always
kind of secretly excited when someone's not making money, because I know how much potential there is for transformation. I know what's possible for them, and I know what will happen when they grow and expand. And I think there's always an opportunity. There's always an opportunity, and it's just very powerful to support someone in uncovering what that is for them.
Yeah. And I know in the coaching realm, we talk quite a lot about purpose. Are you living your purpose? Are you in alignment? And I guess people who are just perhaps in that moment of, I mean, I know when I coach people, as we were saying earlier together, that for me, they have to have gotten to a point where they're beginning to say, is this it? Like, mm-hmm. I've ticked all the boxes. I've, you know, got the right job and the right house and the right family set up and all, you know, ticked all the boxes, and yet I'm still not happy, or I'm still far too stressed, or now I'm far too ill, or whatever it is. And when people get to that point, they're coachable and they're open, because they're really beginning to ask questions. And I think as a society, we typically don't ask enough questions.
Definitely. I think people feel a huge pressure to have the answers and worry about if they start asking questions, that makes them look like they don't know what they're doing or they're vulnerable.
Yeah.
You don't want to be vulnerable.
Oh, no. Don't want to go there. And yet the power is in the questions, and holding the questions and really looking at it from different angles rather than coming up with the immediate answer, which is kind of what we're taught to do in our whole education system. It's like you know, you have to have the answer to the question that the teacher asks you. And we're not really taught to hold a question and to look at it from different angles and really study it and open more of the onion layers.
Totally. It's one of the most, I think, challenging things to do is to stay in the question. It's much easier, and people like the security of a yes or a no, staying in the in-between, or saying, okay, what's next for me, or where do I go from here? It's challenging, but the joy and the freedom is on the other side of that.
Absolutely. So if you were looking for, or if somebody was looking, is beginning to question and was looking for a coach, what would you advise them to look for to begin with?
I think, well, generally most people seem to experience coaches through social media or online. So it'd be about someone that you feel that you resonate with. Maybe you don't necessarily know why, but you just feel drawn to them, or you feel inspired by them, or something they said touched you really deeply. I think depending on what kind of coaching, sometimes someone that is where you want to be, or in some aspect of their life they're embodying qualities or a business or a life or aspects of that that you really desire for yourself. And I think, you know, when I speak with potential clients, I always say, trust your intuition.
Yeah.
Trust your intuition. There's different routes to the same destination, and you get to, it's not about being right or wrong. It's about choosing the person that you want to journey with, and trusting your intuition on that being the right person. It's always terrifying. I was saying to someone today that you shouldn't. She said, I don't feel comfortable. That you shouldn't feel comfortable.
Yes,
you shouldn't feel comfortable. I would be worried if you did feel comfortable about this investment, because if you were in your comfort zone, we wouldn't be getting results. You should be out of your comfort zone. You should be fearing that mixture of fear, terror, and excitement. That's good, because this is your edge. This is where your growth will come from. This is where the success, the money, the happiness and fulfillment will come from. I don't want to work with anyone that says this feels really comfortable.
So true. I love it. And if somebody was thinking about working with you or contacting you after this show, what would you be looking for in a client?
Yeah, great question. I think that I love working with people that are passionate. I love working people that are willing to work on their own spiritual development and their own personal development. That's really, really important. So whilst I do teach business structures as part of the coaching I do, especially when somebody's setting up a new coaching business, once you've got that set up, a lot of it's about mindset. Mindset is really the biggest thing. So a willingness and an openness.
and a willingness and an openness to work on themselves. And I love people that dream big.
Yeah.
I love people that don't know how, but they're willing to go for it. And they come from a place of love. They're passionate, they're open-minded, and
Fantastic.
They've got big dreams.
So if that is you, if you're passionate, open-minded, you've got big dreams, and you're coming from a place of love, be sure to contact Polly. Her email, her website is Polly Alexander, spelled the French way, R-E, not E-R, at the end, .com. And where's the best way to find you on social media?
Instagram.
She's a photographer.
Of course, it's my natural channel. I absolutely adore Instagram. It's Polly_Alexander, ending in D-R-E.
Yep. So thank you so much, Polly. It's been a huge, huge pleasure to have you on the show. And I've loved actually doing it in person here with you. It just makes it so much more vibrant, I feel.
I know. I've loved it. You always ask such wonderful questions. You're such a natural interviewer and such a joyful, joyful spirit. I love spending time with you.
Oh, bless you. Well, this was episode 22 of the Being Brilliant radio show with Amy Hackett-Jones. You can find me at www.amyhackett.jones.com. Thank you, Polly, for being my absolute brilliant guest. You embody being brilliant in so many different ways. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. Go out there and be your brilliant selves. Until next time, ciao for now.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be confusing. Like Swedish techno confusing.
Bark, bark, meow, meow. Dance with me, purple cow. Bark, bark, meow, meow. Ooh, you lovely cow.
Geico makes it easy. With 24/7 access, all you have to do is go to Geico.com and you could save money on car insurance. It just makes sense. Unlike, you know.
Dance with me, purple cow. I like your moves.
So you're ready to start a family, and everyone's been giving you advice. But where to actually begin? At Kaiser Permanente, our teams of obstetricians, delivery nurses, lactation consultants, and pediatricians all work together for you and your baby, helping ensure you get the care you need from the doctors and caregivers you trust. Standing by your family through every step of this wonderful journey. That's Kaiser Permanente. Thrive. Visit kp.org.
Some things just make you feel comfortable, like shopping at Vons. From the butcher block to the bakery and everywhere in between, Vons is fresher, with more organic products, more smiles, and low prices on the brands you trust. For a delicious dinner, shop with your club card and get USDA Choice Beef Tri-Tip Roast, untrimmed boneless, for just $3.99 a pound. And for a crisp, sweet snack, pick up large Envy apples for only $1.49 a pound with your club card. Vons. Fact is, it's just better.